Excessive heat warning still in play for Hennepin County. It's just been a cooker today. Got up to 101, 100 degrees some places. Tomorrow, high of 89, which I guess is going to feel cool, huh? Wednesday, 65 for a low, 87 for a high. Thursday, partly sunny, 69 for a low, 95 for a high. Friday, 72 we start out at, and then 90. Saturday, it cools down, 64 for a low, 78 for a high. I call that a variance of 14 degrees. Starts at 64, goes to 78. That's a pretty small variance. And I've been doing this forecast and stuff for a long time off my phone. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time. Take next Tuesday, 62 for low, 83 for a high. That's a 21-degree variance. And that's more in line with what I saw in meteorology school back in the day. And I did it and all that stuff. And then one day they said, well, you can either learn all that stuff or here we'll give you a phone and then you click on the weather app. Currently in Minneapolis, it's sunny and 94 degrees. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. You heard the man. News Talk 830 WCCO. Your shining light to Lake Superior and beyond. No, don't like that. They come up with a different one. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only guide extraordinaire, Rory Nelson. And I go to him for my metro fishing tips and beyond. He never tells me where he goes fishing. He just tells me what to use and what depth to be at. He never will give me that secret spot. So I'm going to keep putting him on until one day he says, okay, I'll take you there. Rory joins us now. Rory, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. Now, so here comes the heat. You like to fish Lake Minnetonka and the area lakes. What happens? Does it shut down or do we just assume that it shuts down and then we quit fishing?
Well, fishing never shuts down. Fish still have to feed. They just become more lethargic. The time frames change to more of a breakfast and dinner feeding time is the way I like to tell people. You know, early mornings, till about 9:30 in the morning or later in the afternoons after the sun starts going down. Your biggest problem is when you get these real hot days is lack of oxygen in the shallows. The hotter the water, the less the oxygen. So that really pushes the fish out deeper to more of a consistent temperature, not so much fluctuation. So probably 16 to 22 feet of water is where the bulk of the fish are hanging out right now.
So I had somebody ask me this. They said, you know, I got a boat and I want to go on Minnetonka and fish it. And I really don't care what I catch. I just want to catch fish. I don't want to fish for just one fish. I don't want to go just for sunnies or just for crappies or just for walleyes. I want to be surprised what might be on the other on the end of the line, and I just want to have fun doing it. Is there one bait, they asked me, that would work, or one depth or one something? And I said, I don't know, but I'm going to ask Rory about that. I'm thinking wiggle worm, but you tell me, if you just want to cast out and catch some fish and know that it might be a walleye on the other end, it might be a crappie, it might be a bass, is there a way to go about that?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Hands down, the best way for a person to go out and catch all species of fish, if you ask me, is Lindy rigging. Live bait rig. It's a simple bullet sinker is what I use to a quick quip swivel with about an 8-foot leader, then a hook. Any type of minnow right now, a fathead, shiner, sucker, whatever you can really get your hands on. And the beauty of that is it doesn't matter what depth you're in. You're always within 3 feet of the bottom. You can, you know, you let out an extra 20 feet of line. You go up and down the break lines. It's a very weedless bait, and every species will bite on it. Sunnies, crappies, perch, walleyes, northerns, muskies, bass, they all bite it. I think people want to try and fish as if they see them on TV, meaning throwing plastics, artificials. If you want to go out and catch fish, and you don't care what species it is, there is not a finer way to go than to start back trolling about a half mile per hour out on the deep weed edges with a 3/8 ounce weight, a number 4 blood red Gamagatsu hook, by far is the most effective way I have.
Nope, you there, Rory? Did we just lose him, Dennis?
I don't know. still locked in.
Okay, Rory, if you can hear us, hang up your phone and we'll call you back. Because I think you must hit one of those spots on the lake where all of a sudden, you know, it goes. Becomes that black hole, you know? And all of a sudden, either that or you had a fish in your line and you set your phone down. I never know with you, Rory. You might have just had a fish in your line. Do you as a guide ever have anybody that wants to do that? And do you ever fish that way?
That's the only way I fish, Mike. It's literally the most effective way for every species.
So you don't just go for walleyes or bass or you're always fishing for everything?
Well, it's over the years I learned that when I was targeting walleyes, well, back trolling, because you could check your depth so easily, you know, you cover tons of ground. I started realizing I'm catching more bass, I'm catching more northerns, I'm catching every species of fish that the lake has to offer, including carp. Everything will hit that setup. So over the years, I kind of perfected it and shrunk it down to where I was running a bullet sinker instead of a Lindy rig weight, which made it more weedless. And I run a smaller size hook than a normal person would. And, you know, when you feel the bite, you give them a little bit of line, give them a chance to inhale it, and you pull up everything. And everybody can go do this. It's a very simple way and a very effective way to catch fish.
Got a text here from Ron Sherr that says, I'm having trouble with the old crankbait as I get older. I don't know what that means, but he says he's having a tough time catching bass in the river. What would you tell him about bass in the river when the water's up like this?
When the water's this high, they're going to kick back to the river outlets. They're going to go back up, getting out of the current. Just don't like current when the water's up. They want to find structure areas that are, you know, offset of the main channels. And then I'd start throwing swim baits, something you can cover more depth. And a little more vibration, I think, and a nice longer paddle tail seems to be working in the river.
This is another one from Ron. Shira, he says, if I'm going to use crawlers, what can I expect to catch right now? Yeah, that's a good question. That's live bait. Is that something that will bring anything in? Cause Ron just wants to catch something, he says.
On Minnetonka, I stay away from crawler harnesses because it seems like the sunfish absolutely decimate it. You'll catch a on Minnetonka, I stay away from crawler harnesses because it seems like the sunfish absolutely decimate it. You'll catch a lot of sunfish.
Okay, if that's what you want.
If that's what you want.
Yep.
But you're constantly having to rebait the hook because, you want a nice long crawler for the bigger fish. And usually those sunnies are so aggressive, they get to it before you have that chance.
Do you ever just fish sunfish?
All the time. All the time. Well, the spring sunnies, you can get into them. Right now, the other day, I was out and I traveled through a pack of them for probably 150 yards long. The school was probably 40 to 50 feet wide. Really? And they were all big monster bluegills off a rock pile. Big ones. Big ones.
Did you just sit on it for a while then, or what'd you do?
Yeah, well, nothing else was biting. It was early morning. We found them. We sat down, put on some plastic artificials, and had a field day.
Now, that sounds fun. Have the bass been good?
The bass has been spectacular. 2 weekends ago, they had another high school tournament out there. They kind of struggled. The bite was a little earlier, and the fish were deeper than most of the people thought they should be. I happened to be fishing that day and found them in about 23 to 26 feet of water on the edge of the weeds.
And what were the kids fishing them at?
I think a lot of kids were trying up against the docks still, thinking they were still shallower than what they were. I think the lake changed quite a bit. The temperature came in, and they all of a sudden they moved out because all the sunnies were out. The bass were chasing the sunnies, so on and so forth. You know, they're not going to stick around if there's no bait for them. They're going to chase the bait.
One more text here from Ron Shira. He asks if northern Minnesota is now a good place to go because it's the warmth. Obviously, maybe too warm. He's thinking of southern Minnesota because he says, I've been fishing northern Minnesota all spring and had a tough time with it. And that might be operator error too. But is northern Minnesota get better as it gets warmer in the southern Minnesota?
Well, we had a massive cold spring. So up north is just now starting to come into peak time. I mean, the water temperatures are just getting to where the bass should be coming off the spawning beds. They should be going really heavy, especially up north, Eye Falls, that area. It was just a prolonged spring. So yeah, if you had struggled up there early because it was colder and the fish weren't normally where they'd be at that time of year, they're going to get there. It's a little delayed this year.
Rory, appreciate it very much. If people want to know where to find you, where?
Well, is it a bait and tackle? You can find me on Facebook at Minnetonka Masters.
Excellent, buddy. Appreciate it very much. Always good to visit with you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. You have a good night.
You bet, Roy Nelson. When we come back, you can't just play the game. You got to think the game. I'll explain. Stay with us. I've seen a lot of the Minnesota Lynx yesterday played a basketball game against Las Vegas. And Las Vegas is really good. The Lynx have struggled this year. And the Lynx played really, really well. They stayed with them. They made shots. They went back and forth. It was a good basketball game. At the end of the game, they trailed by 3 points. They brought the ball down the floor. In the final seconds, they threw to Jessica Shepherd, and she shot a two-pointer. And she made it. And they lost by 1 point. I got to tell you, part of the reason the Lynx have won more games this year is because they played some of the dumbest basketball I've ever seen in the final minute of a game. They played Chicago, 22 seconds left in the game. They're down by four, and they didn't even get a foul off until there were 2 seconds left in the game. So their record is a little bit misleading, and yesterday they did so many things so right. They played the game so well. They got people open. They had a good game plan, it looked like. And then at the end of the game, and the same thing happened against Seattle last week, they couldn't even find a way to foul, play the free throw game. And so their record is a little bit misleading because they've played teams close. But how on earth you can shoot a two-pointer when you have to have a three or the game is over is beyond me. I don't know how that happens. You would think in training camp, one of the things you talk about is, hey, if we're down three and there's only 3 seconds left, we probably should shoot a three-pointer. I mean, you'd have to have an and-one guaranteed to do anything different than that. And it's got to be really frustrating because they played so well yesterday and stayed in it. That Becky Hammon that coaches Vegas, she'll be the first NBA women's head coach, I would bet. She's got experience in San Antonio with Popovich. And she took this Vegas team over. And they have some fun, man. They got Asia Wilson, of course, but they try to get the ball moving and running, and they make shots. They make three-pointers, and it looks like it'd be a really fun place to play. With her wide open style, and what she's allowing them to do is maybe a little unconventional, but it's working. They're at the top of the league, and so for the Lynx to play that thing down to the wire, and then it's not that they probably wouldn't have made the three pointer because obviously you're defending the three pointer. You know, it's pretty easy to figure out how to defend a team when you know they got to have a three, right? But the point is, you can't send the game to overtime with a two pointer because you're down 3 points. And I don't know. I mean, some of the stuff at the end of games this year have just been, you go, head scratcher. It's just stuff that it's so fundamental and so elementary that you'd think would have been taken care of in training camp. And so it's their record has become a little bit misleading because they've been right there at the end with a lot of good teams. And they can't finish the deal. And part of the reasons is, you know, like I said, if you're down 4 points with 22 seconds left and you can't figure out how to foul to play the free throw game, you got problems. If you shoot a two-pointer and need three, you got problems. So anyway, they'll play Phoenix, a team that's down a little bit because Brittany Griner's in Russia being held over there for whatever those charges are. And then, of course, on Thursday, the big night for the NBA draft, Tim Connelly's first one with the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're your home to the Timberwolves. We'll have that covered tomorrow night right here. It is the Twins and the Cleveland Guardians. Yes, it is. 6:40, the first pitch. 6 o'clock, the pregame. That should be a pretty good series, man. If you haven't got your tickets, go get them. It's going to be good. Twins and Guardians, the first of three. First place on the line on your home to Twins baseball. News Talk 830 WCCO.